Please get your Bibles now and let's turn to the Gospel of Matthew tonight, to the 6th chapter. I'm going to begin the reading in verse 9 and read through verse 15 as we continue on in our series on the Lord's Prayer. Tonight, considering the 5th petition particularly of the Lord's Prayer, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Let's give our attention again tonight to the reading of God's Word. Jesus says to his disciples, "Pray then like this: Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For if you forgive others their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses." Let's bow briefly in prayer. Father, we do ask that you would enable us to understand your word more clearly tonight. And so we pray that you would grant us of your Spirit, that he would illuminate your word to us and bring us into a greater conformity to it. We thank you tonight as your people for the forgiveness of sin in our Lord Jesus Christ, how you would be gracious to us and you would forgive us all of these trespasses against you and your holy law. And Father, we pray that we would be a people who show forth the evidence and fruit of that forgiveness in our own lives, being kind and forgiving to others. Please bless our time now in your word, for we do ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. As we continue to work our way through the Lord's Prayer, we come this evening to the 5th petition, and I've reproduced our catechism's 105th question for you on the back of your bulletin this evening, which asks, what do we pray for in the 5th petition? And in answer, the Westminster Divines wrote, "In the 5th petition, which is, 'And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors,' we pray that God, for Christ's sake, would freely pardon all our sins, which we are able to be rather encouraged to ask, because by his grace we are enabled from the heart to forgive others." And so, quickly, right off of a cursory read of the Catechism's question and answer concerning this petition, we learn a couple of things of significance that I want to hit right away tonight. First off, notice that we learn that to have our debts forgiven is to have our sins forgiven. To have our debts forgiven is to have our sins forgiven. That is, sin is sometimes spoken of in the Bible in monetary terms. or as a business transaction. For instance, in Romans 3:23, we read, the wages of sin is death. In other words, what sin earns, what sin deserves, the paycheck which sin should get is death. Also, salvation is talked about as redemption, the buying back of something. So, asking God to forgive us our debts is asking God to forgive us of our sins. A second thing that we see here, just from a very cursory read of the question and answer in 105, is that while it is the case that the fourth petition, which was give us this day our daily bread, the fourth petition underscores and reminds us of our frailty and our daily dependence upon God for physical sustenance, notice that the fifth petition, which is forgive us our debts, underscores and reminds us of our sinfulness and our daily need of forgiveness. I want to underscore the word daily there. We have a daily need, even as believers, even as Christians, for God's forgiveness. Well, one of the main themes of Jesus' teaching, which he demonstrated in his own life, is that humility is to be the mark of one of his disciples. Humility is to be a mark of a disciple of Christ. The Pharisees and their disciples were marked by a very judgmental and critical spirit, but Jesus is calling us here to always remember that we are in need of forgiveness ourselves. And that a mark of his disciples is that they are so acutely aware of their own need. And that we have been so humbled by the gracious forgiveness that we have received from God, that we are then able to forgive others from the heart. In other words, when you are convicted of your own sin, you are not concerned to hold other people to justice for their sins against you. But rather, you are humbled and you desire nothing but forgiveness and mercy for yourself. In fact, when you are truly under the conviction of the Holy Spirit for your own sin, you are very quick to forgive others, realizing that their offenses against you are nothing in comparison to your own offenses and your own sin against God. We need to remember that praying this prayer, and we talked about this at the beginning of the series, the praying of the Lord's Prayer is an identifying practice. How you pray identifies who you serve and what you believe. And we are being called here to be identified in the way that we pray and what we pray for. We are being called to be identified as God's humbled, forgiven children. Our prayer should, if someone were to hear our prayer, they should say, that is a humbled, forgiven person. That is someone who knows the depths of their own sin and the gift that they've been given by God. In fact, this petition is really sort of the prayer form of Micah 6:8. He has shown you, O man, what is good, and what does the Lord desire of you, but to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. The phrase here in our text, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. That really needs a little bit of explanation, because many have thought that this is inferring that, and particularly from verses 14 and 15 as well, that God will not save us, that God will not forgive us until we forgive everyone else. Now, if that was the case, then the plea for forgiveness of sin would not actually be based upon the grace and mercy of God alone, which we are told it is based upon at every turn throughout Scripture. That the mercy and grace of God is the basis upon which we are forgiven of our sin. The mercy and grace of God in Jesus Christ is how God forgives us of our sin. But if this were the case, if forgiveness was and salvation were predicated upon our forgiving of everyone else, then it would be dependent upon some action, some work that we ourselves have done. We should probably spend more time on this point. Much can be said about this point, which makes it clear that this is not what Jesus is saying nor implying here. But for our purposes tonight, we need to remember a couple of things that hopefully can get us through this matter this evening in the short time that we have. I want to bring up two points in this regard. First of all, we need to remember that when Jesus gives us this prayer, when the Lord's Prayer is given, it is a prayer of the forgiven. The ones who pray this prayer are those who have been forgiven. Remember, we could have accurately renamed this prayer, and some have suggested that we should rename it and call the Lord's Prayer not the Lord's Prayer, but we should call it the Disciples' Prayer. It's the prayer that He gave His disciples to pray. Those who take this petition upon their lips in sincerity are those who have experienced the love and forgiveness of God's grace. Those who have been loved then love others. Those who have been forgiven forgive others. And thus we need to see that this is a statement of fact, actually, not a condition of salvation. It's a statement of fact. God is a forgiving Father toward His children. And a mark of the children of God is that they also forgive others. We are simply noting here in these words our confidence that God will forgive us because He is our Father. And the fact that He is our Father is evidenced. The fact that God is our forgiving Father is evidenced in our ability to forgive all others as well. That is what our catechism teaches, and this is what the Heidelberg Catechism makes maybe even more clear. When we pray this petition, we are praying this, and let me try to read this carefully. We are praying to the Lord, be pleased for the sake of Christ's blood, not to impute to us miserable sinners our manifold transgressions, nor the evil which always cleaves to us, as we also find this witness of Thy grace in us, that it is our full purpose heartily to forgive our neighbor. In other words, our ability to forgive others is a witness of His work of grace in us. And it is a mark indeed that He is our Father in heaven who is forgiving and merciful to us. And so this is not so much a condition that's being given here, but it's a statement of fact in this prayer. But there is a second matter that I want us to consider tonight, and something I want us to take very serious this evening, and that is the fact that unforgiveness and sin do, in fact, hinder prayer. We can shorten that and just say sin does hinder prayer. Period. You see, while we do want to be very clear that this is not in any way implying that our works are the ground or the condition of obtaining forgiveness of sin from God, we would be remiss if we blunted the implication of this petition to the point that it no longer caused us some godly fear. The fact of the matter is, sin hinders prayer. And particularly the sin of unforgiveness in you will hinder your prayer to the Lord. The psalmist tells us very clearly in Psalm 66, verse 18, "If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me." Peter says explicitly in 1 Peter 3:7, "Husbands, live with your wives in an understanding way, showing honor to the woman as the weaker vessel, since they are heirs with you of the grace of life, so that your prayers may not be hindered." Do not be fooled, congregation. Do not be fooled, brothers and sisters. Sin will absolutely hinder your prayers. We need to realize and we need to take very serious that when we harbor wrath and bitterness and malice towards others, we will be hindered in our obtaining of forgiveness from God, because that kind of attitude and disposition is indicative of the fact that we really do not sense in ourselves a conviction of sin and a need for forgiveness in our own life. In essence, if we are not forgiving others, we won't be asking for forgiveness from God for ourselves. If we're not asking for forgiveness from God because we are not forgiving others, then it can be said that God is not forgiving us because we are not forgiving others. So if this is not your disposition and conviction, in other words, if you're not cut to the heart because of your own sin, then you will not be coming to the Lord for forgiveness yourself. And therefore, your sin and your lack of forgiveness towards others will hinder your obtaining of forgiveness from God. Because you're not even going to be asking that in prayer. You will not be seeking Him for it. And so this petition underscores and reminds us of our sinfulness. It reminds us of our daily need for God's grace and forgiveness, which should then humble us and make us gracious and merciful and forgiving towards others. I want to ask you directly tonight, are you harboring sin against another tonight? Is there someone in your life who has wronged you? And I mean really sinned against you. And are you not forgiving them? Have you looked at yourself in the light of God's mercy towards you? And having let His mercy and kindness humble you before Him, Have you then been enabled to show kindness towards them and forgive them and let love cover those sins? This matter of being able to forgive others is really the high mark. It really is that one of those identifying characteristics of Christ's people. I want to simply end by reading Paul's call to us in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 32 tonight. Paul writes, "Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, as God in Christ has forgiven you." Let's pray together. Father, we realize tonight that the proportion to which we will be enabled to forgive others is when we recognize what a great debt you have forgiven in our own lives. And so we pray tonight, O God, that you would dig deep, that your Spirit would press deeply into our hearts and upon our consciences the great unrepayable debt that we owe to you for your forgiveness for us. In fact, you have not even asked it be repaid, but you have freely forgiven us in Christ. You freely paid all. He freely took it all upon himself so that we can be reconciled to you. We thank you for the great love, that mysterious love that you as a holy God, you would love a sinful world so much that you would send your only begotten Son to die for us, that if any would believe upon him, they would be forgiven of their sin and saved. Father, we have become callous and we have become numb. And we pray that you might stir our hearts up again, recognizing what a gracious God you are and what a great breach you have bridged by your Son. And we pray that as we contemplate these things and as we experience and know your forgiveness, that it would flow from us to others, that we would be a people quick to forgive, letting love cover a multitude of sins, that we would not hold high the offenses against ourselves, but would be quick to let love cover those, seeing as you have forgiven us in Christ. And so, Father, make this change within us. Make us more like you. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.